guys have done here has been meaningful to Mary and myself. Greg and Dina, we have watched their faithfulness over the years of the hotel, and they've shared victories with us, and they have shared some times that probably you're not even aware of. And it's just, I tell you, it's really, I can't tell you, Greg, how delighted we are to be here and what a joy it is to just see these people. And we were in this facility just shortly after you got it, and what you have done with it is so good. And so we're just so happy to be here. How you know when I'm through is our congregation knows that when my water runs out, I'm through. I will tell you that when Greg asked me to speak, I did not want to just share a teaching or a word with you. I know that Greg is a good preacher. I listen to him. He preaches with a lot more fervor. University professor for 13 years, and so I'm kind of professorial. But one of the things that I wanted to do was not come here to teach or to preach, but I came here to impart. Because I really believe that there's something that God wanted me to speak into you as a congregation. And so it's our custom to just begin the year with a time of fasting. So we begin this year in January with 21 days of fasting. And during that time, as I was praying, I really sensed God speaking something to me concerning your church. And I really believe that it speaks to your prophetic destiny. And I really was just not surprised, but really excited about what I heard him saying. Because what I heard him saying is that this is already a house of praise, and he is making it a house of prayer. And as it becomes a house of prayer, it will become a house of hope and healing. And I honestly didn't know this was your motto or whatever. It would become a house of hope and healing. And he told me that while you're looking back at everything that is accomplished over these 12 years, and you have so much to thank God for, he just wants you to know there is more. And you need to prepare for an increase of power. Now, listen to this carefully. Because I think so often when we think of power, we think of the miraculous. We think of the dunamis of God, the dynamite power of God. I want you to understand there are five powers of God. And they're all wrapped up into five different Greek words. But there's exousia, which is delegated authority, which often is translated power in the scripture. There is dunamis. Everybody is aware of the dynamite power of God. That's the miracle working power of God. There's energia, energy. And there is iskus, which is might. But the power that God is speaking for you to be expecting the increase is kratos. Now, the word kratos means nothing to you, but when you know its meaning, it should mean a lot to you. Because kratos means dominion. That's a good name, dominion. The kratos of God. And so there is the real sense. Kratos, dominion, is the rule of God. And it's the expansion of the kingdom power. And kratos is the basis for all of the other powers of God. And so as you begin to exercise kratos or dominion power, ruling power, listen, God intends for you, and please understand what I say here, he intends for you to dominate in this area. You're going to see him magnify your ministry. You're going to see this truly become a place of hope and healing. What little healing you have seen is just a first fruit of what He's going to do. And I know He's going to magnify your ministry in this place. And as I realized that it was your 12th year, I just suddenly sensed God speaking to me this morning. You've completed your 12 years, you're entering into your teen times. But listen, church, it will not be a time of adolescent foolishness, nor will it be a time of adolescent rebellion, but it will be a time of maturing in the Lord as you go on to see His magnification of your ministry in this place. Now, I want you to look at some scriptures, because I want you to see this if we're going to begin to move. And I'm going to use the term "we" just as if I'm a part of you, because actually I feel like I am. Is that okay? I mean, I know we're over here in Clear Lake and you're over here in League City, but I used to would say that Dean and Dina and Greg are two of our favorite people in the section, but now I have to say they're two of our favorite people in the district because they're no longer in our San Jacinto section. It's too bad you moved, guy. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture, and I want us to kind of focus on this for a moment, because this is where you need to see God moving you as individuals and corporately. But in John chapter 5 and verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, primarily because I didn't know what version you guys used around here, and I don't want to offend anybody. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." That's an important phrase to note. "But what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner." Now, I want you to notice that little phrase where Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing in Himself." And please understand what I am saying here. When I look at this, when I look at the Scripture, I see that Jesus had no supernatural capabilities in Himself. Now, I'm going to let that kind of soak in for a moment, because we think, well, He did, John. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. Everything He did as a man, completely, wholly dependent on the Holy Spirit. He emphasized that as He said, "The Son can do nothing of Himself." Now, He is 100% God. I'm not taking anything away from that. But remember, while He is 100% God, He is 100% man. And so while He is 100% God, He chose... Now, listen to me, church. That just means this is an important point. It doesn't mean you're not listening. So listen to me. He chose... He was 100% God, but He chose to live with the same limitations and restrictions that man, you and I, would face once we are redeemed. And He made that point over and over. He's making that point when He says the Son can do nothing of Himself. See, he was without sin, and He lived wholly dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, for you and me, God has dealt with the sin issue with Christ on the cross. You've come to Christ, you are without sin. The sin issue is dealt with. The question becomes, how dependent on the Holy Spirit will you and I become? That's the point. And that's the whole point of today's message. But I want to build on that. How dependent on the Holy Spirit will we become? Now, if Jesus performed miracles as God, I am impressed, but I am not compelled to follow. His example would be admirable, but it would be unattainable. And so it's obvious that he intended his disciples, that's you and me, to do all that he did and even more, because John 14 and 12, just write these scriptures down and check me out later. John 14, 12, Jesus said, I say to you, he said, most assuredly or truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, do you believe in him? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And so realizing, when I realize that he did all his miracles as a man, I am responsible to follow the example that he established and to pursue the spiritual realms that he said are available to me. And so that's why in 1 Corinthians 14:1, the scriptures tells us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, when Jesus performs his miracles as a man, he chose to live with the same limitations and restrictions that we have. He became a model for all of us, his disciples, who would embrace his invitation to invade the impossibility in his name. And God has invited us to invade the impossible realm in the name of Jesus. He performed miracles, signs, and wonders as a man in right relationship to God, not as God. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says, Christ, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, 100% God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And the NIV says, he made himself nothing. The New American Standard says he emptied himself. And I like the margin note of the New Living Translation, which says he laid aside his mighty power and glory. Do you understand that truth? He emptied himself of all his godness and took upon himself manness, and he lived an example for us. And he's ministering as a man with the same limitations and restrictions that you and I have, but a man totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is a truth that the church must recapture. Because when I understand this, I understand that I have a responsibility to follow the model that he has set before me. And so as we begin to understand this simple truth, it makes possible a full restoration of the ministry of Jesus Christ to his church. And so to fulfill his mission, Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. And that mission, with all of its objectives, was to finish the Father's work. That's what he said there in John 5:19. Now, if the Son of God was that reliant upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit, his behavior should clarify our need for the Holy Spirit's power upon us so that we can do what the Father has assigned us. We must be clothed with the Holy Spirit for supernatural ministry. And part of our problem is this: we are accustomed to doing only the things that are not impossible. All through our community today, if God does not show up and help with church endeavors, there will still be success. But God has called us to invade the impossible. And so there must be an aspect of the Christian life that is impossible without divine intervention. And that's what keeps us on the edge, and that's what puts us in contact with our true calling. What is our true calling? Our true calling is to represent Jesus Christ in this world. And it's our privilege to declare who he is by our obedient invasion into that which cannot be done without God's power being displayed. Now, such a display of power was a core value of the early church. It must become a core value of the church today. Not just something we doctrinally believe, but something that we practice. And it was so great, so great was the disciples' need for power to become witnesses that they were not allowed to leave Jerusalem until they had experienced what the Father promised. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. He said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in a few days. Now, this power came to individuals who walked in intimacy with Jesus through an experience called the baptism. We call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that is not to be a one-time event, but that was supposed to be the ongoing priority in the Christian life. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing. And so if the Holy Spirit is free to move powerfully in our lives, we will constantly be involved in the invasion of the impossibilities. Why? Because the supernatural is the natural realm of the Holy Spirit. And the more important the Holy Spirit becomes to us, the less we will quench and grieve Him. I just appreciated the fact that you didn't quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, but you went ahead and let the Holy Spirit move this morning, knowing there ain't no way John's going to be through by 12:15 if we do this. See, our desire will be to move in the supernatural to accomplish the purposes that God has created for us. And to prepare ourselves for an increase of power, we must answer this central question. How dependent on the Holy Spirit are we willing to be? How dependent on the Holy Spirit are we willing to be? See, we believe it's our commission to change the world and to alter the course of human history. But Jesus said, he who believes in me, is that you? The works that I do, he will do. Awesome. And greater works he will do because I go to the Father. Now that's a very simple statement. And it's Jesus' prophecy of a greater work than he did. And it should stir the church to follow what he's saying there. It's simple. Give me that look like you believe me. He who believes in me, it's not hard to understand. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. And greater works he will do because I go to the Father. Now, Jesus is prophesying of his disciples doing the same works and even greater works. See, Jesus showed us what one person who has the Spirit without measure, that's the problem with you and me. We have the Spirit with measure. Now, please understand, we have the Spirit with measure because we choose to have the Spirit with measure. How dependent on the Holy Spirit am I willing to live? And so Jesus showed us what one person could do who has the Spirit without measure. What could millions do? That was his point, and that became his prophecy. Someone's got to catch his dream. We are a Pentecostal church. You talk about being a Pentecostal church, but sometimes our only emphasis is on speaking in tongues and not doing the works of Jesus. But it's the works. Jesus didn't say. He said, those who believe in me, the works that I do, he will do. Someone's got to catch his dream. And someone's got to hear what is possible through these dreams. See, we've got to think in terms of nations coming to God. Have you heard the Great Commission? The Great Commission is to disciple nations. Read it. It doesn't say anything about make disciples in every nation. It says make disciples of the nations. That is an impossible task. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the Holy Spirit to make disciples in all the nations, because you can convince someone to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not going to convince very many without the work of the Holy Spirit, but you will convince some. See, our assignment is to invade the impossible all over the world. And the purpose of kingdom power, that's why God is speaking dominion over you. I don't know how you came up with the name Dominion for Dominion Church, but God knew 12 years ago when He gave you that name. See, the purpose of kingdom power is to invade society at its greatest places of need. And Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom would be preached over the whole world before the end comes. Now, and He told His disciples, the commission was go and preach the gospel. Here's His commission. It's real simple. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Cleanse the leper. And tell them the kingdom of God has come near. See, every time He's talking about kingdom, most every time He uses the word kingdom, it's to display power. And when power is demonstrated, people are released from torment, they are healed from their diseases, and are exposed to miracles of all sorts. And if we carry the message with those results, then we know we're doing the same thing as Jesus did. How dependent on the Holy Spirit will you and I choose to live? See, kingdom thinking knows that anything is possible at any time. And it's activated when you and I with tender hearts surrender to the thought patterns of God. And if we receive His imaginations and His thought patterns and we say, yes, we are changed. And the Bible calls that a renewed mind. And how do you know when your mind is renewed? You know your mind is renewed when the illogical, the impossible looks logical. See, we want our lives to be full of the kingdom. Living under kingdom influence. We want miracles to have their full effect in us, changing the way we see and the way we behave. And this is not just ministry for those that are on staff primarily in the confines of the church walls. See, kingdom thinking impacts every area of society. The businessman, the educator, the politician alike. See, the king influences how things should be and reveals new ways of impacting people in our given spheres of influence. See, it's time to take those realms of influence back and impact secular society with the good news of God's kingdom. See, the world only has a voice where the church remains silent. And the church has been silent for too long. And we don't need to be vocal in protest demonstrations. We need to be doing the works that Jesus did. See, without His message of the kingdom, we have little to say. But do you understand? Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 says that Jesus is the desire of all the nations. They just don't know it. But everyone seems to be seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. They just don't know that they're crying out for a king and his rule. Why do you think Barack Obama is so popular right now with his message of hope? It is because people are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where hope is. They just don't know it. And that's where we come in when we display His love and His power and we represent Him accurately. Jesus walked in a measure of anointing. He walked in an anointing without measure, beyond measure, because He chose to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And He constantly illustrated those superior truths by stepping outside the boundaries of the natural. And the more you and I become empowered and directed by the Spirit of God, the more our lives will define natural principles and release the spiritual realities that God intended for us to enjoy. Listen, we are just in the beginning stages of accelerated growth. Before Jesus returns, there will be a mighty, powerful revival. We're just in the beginning stages of that. But we need to make up for several hundred years of lost time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, there's all those wonderful teachings about the operation of the Holy Spirit. And there's this revelation of the body of believers who live in a realm of the Spirit that is essential for the authentic gospel. And those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, church, must be taken to the streets where they belong if they are going to reach their full potential. Outside the confines of this wall, take it to the streets. See, our ambition is to increasingly take that atmosphere of heaven wherever we go. How did Jesus teach us to pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we to be doing? We are to be bringing heaven down to earth and taking it into the mall, into our homes, into the streets, into our businesses. That's the normal Christian life. We're living in desperate times. And it's time for us to get desperate as a people and say, Holy Spirit, we need you. We will be dependent on you. See, this generation has the opportunity to fulfill Moses' cry that all God's people would be prophets. See, we're to carry the Elijah anointing in preparing the return of the Lord in the same way that John the Baptist carried the Elijah anointing and prepared the people for the coming of the Lord. So how do we prepare for an increase of power in our lives? By having our minds renewed by a kingdom mindset. That helps us to take the risks that are necessary for God's promised invasion. How do we prepare for an increase of power? By asking for more of the Holy Spirit. See, divine encounters given to hungry people have always been the most important part of a person's transformation. Put yourself in places where you encounter the presence of God like you did this morning, and allow the Holy Spirit to transform your thoughts until you find yourself dreaming with God of the possibilities and the potential realities actually of bringing heaven to earth. And then out of that encounter comes a lifestyle that sustains kingdom thinking in your life. And once that lifestyle is in place, then we can create a culture that sustains kingdom thinking and manifestation, and that's continual revival. See, the kingdom culture looks something like this. The kingdom culture is a culture that is captivated by the Lord Jesus Christ, delighting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. A kingdom culture is a culture of humility, recognizing that we can do nothing except what we see the Father doing, and then only that insofar as we are empowered by His Holy Spirit. See, the kingdom culture releases the power of God. And to not walk in the power of God is to withhold from this world what they desperately need and the very encounter that would bring praise to God. I got to skip some things. Because I know Greg preached 37 minutes last week, so I'm giving myself 30. I'm giving myself 37 minutes this morning. So I'm close to through. Okay, what's our destiny? What's your destiny? To release heaven on earth wherever you go. Listen, when you walk out these doors, you're walking out into places where you are releasing heaven on earth. That's the assignment. Do you joyfully welcome that assignment and the increased manifestation of the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to pursue and to display that authentic gospel? See, remember, the Holy Spirit, John tells us Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was like a river, would flow like a river of living water. Now, a river changes the landscape wherever it flows. And God has called us to change this world, and He has called the church to exercise dominion. He's called you to exercise dominion. And I just got to stop. But stand with me. Father, would you just take what I have tried to share this morning and plant it into the hearts of your people that you can accomplish what you desire in magnifying this house of praise, this house of prayer, this house of healing in this community.